So that's why I busted out with that Decky Yeah on a Tuesday, because I knew we had a really good show today. I knew I was hyped. I knew I was pumped. As evidenced by that first hour, I rolled out with a fairly brilliant recap of Monday Night Football, so good on me. I knew the conversation with Eric Musselman would be tremendous, not only because we have history, but I've always found Mus to be extremely interesting. And Mus and I, you heard it. Really good conversation about his basketball life, about life in general. And the Errol Spence Jr. conversation to me is amazing. So glad to get him back on, especially before that fight. He's going to take on Danny Garcia Saturday night at AT&T Stadium. Once again, live pay-per-view. If you've seen the video of that accident, or maybe if you haven't, you can look for it online. He rolled his Ferrari several times. I mean, it's terrifying. He should have died. Not only did he survive the accident, but has come back and is going to fight. Remember, he's the IBF and WBC welterweight champion of the world. That accident was in 2019. So he's made it all the way back, gone through camp, and is not only going to fight, as I mentioned at the very end of the interview, he's not taking a tune-up fight. He's going up against Danny Garcia. And he laid out the reasons why that is. I mean, it's an astonishing comeback. And what a great conversation. Really, really good interview. All right, so telephone number is toll-free. We are open in hour number two. 1-800-636-8686. My next interview is at the top of the third hour. Jared Patterson is a running back from the University of Buffalo. This is a really good hour. Coming up later on this hour, as I mentioned, in case you missed hour number one, a clone-submitted song. Some of the finest moments ever on this show have been as a result of a clone-submitted song. I mean, there have been some pros, some legitimate professionals that have laid down tracks about the show or about me or about a member of the XR4TI that have created some of the most amazing moments in show history. There have also been some songs that have been so bad that have been some of the lowest points in the history of the program. So what about this one? Which is it going to be? Because whenever I say to you, give me an A or give me an F, it's never a problem with a song. There's nothing in between. There's nothing that's kind of okay or so-so. There's never a C minus. It's either an A or an F. So this will be either an A or an F. I have my song. Alvy has his song. Jay Stu has his song. Kyle Brandt's got a song. And now Hawk and Ritt have a song. That's coming up later on this hour. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so in addition to that, one of the more truly disappointing revelations of 2020, and there's been a lot of things about this year that have been truly disappointing, but one of the more disappointing revelations of the year was to find out that J.R. Smith, who I love, and one of the reasons I love J.R. Smith is because he is the supposed Henny God. However, come to find out, my man doesn't even sip on Hennessy. I mean, for a guy that's been nothing but so right, that just seems so bleeping wrong. Part of this guy's charm, part of this guy's legend, is he's the Henny God. And then he busts out one day and says, man, I don't even like this stuff. It's incredible. That'd be like me busting out after all those years and saying, man, I hate Bombay Sapphire. Tastes like ass. I'm really disappointing. But to each their own.
Bombay Sapphire.
You know, and in defense of J.R. Smith, it's not like he glossed himself that, right? So sometimes a reputation, true or not, will precede a person.
I don't even drink Henny, bro. I don't. Nah, it's not my bro. I hate that for real.
That's an amazing statement. I mean, you can even hear the frustration. Like, man, I don't even drink Henny, bro. That is so disappointing. Play that one more time, Alvy.
I don't even drink Henny, bro. I don't. Nah, it's not my bro. I hate that for real.
I hate it. I don't drink it. Dude, you're the Henny God, right? Apparently not. So, it's time to officially pass the baton and the bottle to somebody who actually wants it, to somebody who earned it, to somebody who's about it, to somebody who lives that life, talks that talk, walks that walk, who's about that action, boss. a guy named Marshawn Lynch, because yesterday a clip from ESPN's Peyton's Places dropped, and Beast Mode is in fact all about that Henny boss.
You believe in superstitions? I always like to read the program front to back for whatever reason before the game. You know, by the end of the season, you know where every accountant for the Colts went to college. What right, were yours? Right. What was your
My superstition was that I needed to have maybe a shot and a half before every game.
Of?
Hennessy. What you mean of?
I was thinking, yeah. Gatorade. Toradol. I don't know what Toradol. I was thinking.
Hell no.
And there's a bar right there in the locker room in Seattle. Schneider and Pete
bar
Carroll.
In my backpack.
Got it. The backpack.
Man, I wish there were this was the podcast so I could drop a four-letter bomb right there. Like, holy bleep. I played some sound clips in my day. Some great sound clips. Sound clips where I've had trouble picking my favorite part. And that would be one. That is absolutely impossible. There is so much that is so good about that. That is the XO Cognac Liquid Gold in a snifter sound clip. From the pour to the last sip. Starting with the fact that Pinky's pregame superstition was reading the game day program front to back.
I always like to read the program front to back for whatever reason. Before the game, you know, by the end of the season, you know where every accountant for the Colts went to college.
I mean, like, breaking down film and knowing more about the opposition than the head coach and reading the playbook. Hell, writing the playbook were not enough. This nerd had to know who was working the corn dog stand at Lucas Oil. I mean, most dudes are getting hyped on music, maybe saying a prayer. Peyton's out here thumbing through a souvenir book. Incredible, but not surprising, right? Incredible, but not surprising. Then there's Beast Mode, who says he needed a shot or a shot and a half before every game. And he doesn't even bother saying what kind of a shot, because to him, it's that much of a given. Like, who wouldn't know? Who would need to ask? Pinky? Pinky's out here asking, a shot of what?
I needed to have maybe a shot and a half before every game.
Of?
Man, this is so amazing. This is brilliant. Marshawn is so about that life that he doesn't think he needs to say. Peyton is so not about that life because he's Peyton and he's been reading programs. So he's got to ask the question, right? He's naturally curious. And wait a minute, man. I'm over here reading the program and you're taking a shot? A shot of what?
Of?
It's perfect. But not as perfect as bottle mode being completely dumbfounded and, in fact, somewhat insulted that Pinky even had to ask the question.
Hennessy, what you mean?
I was thinking, yeah.
I mean, he is bewildered. Like, what, are you kidding? This is so good. And then Peyton throws out some pretty logical explanation for his question. Like, he's trying to explain himself. And that only seems to offend Beast Mode even more.
Gatorade. Toradol. I don't know what
Toradol.
I was thinking.
Hell no.
Like, Pinky is used to being the smartest guy in the room. And he's in deep. A shot. Like, a shot of what? Gatorade? Yeah, dude, because guys are doing shots, pounding shots of Gatorade. I mean, he made a slight recovery when he went with the Toradol bomb. You know, like, you're taking the spike, right? Gatorade? Toradol? Hell nah. Like, what are you talking about, man? Hydration? Electrolytes? Pain management? What, before a football game? Hell nah. Pass the Henny. And if you were thinking that the Seahawks had the hen dog on deck for Marshawn, he is here to set the record straight on that, too.
And there's a bar right there in the locker room in Seattle. Schneider and Pete Carroll.
My backpack.
Got it. The backpack.
Is there a bar in the locker room for Schneider and Peter? Nah, man, there's a bar in my backpack.
And there's a bar right there in the locker room in Seattle. Schneider and Pete Carroll.
In my backpack.
Got it. The backpack.
No, man, there's a club up here in my backpack. Not only is he one of the best backs ever, not only is one of the best backs ever to do it, shooting hen dog before the games, he's getting it out of a backpack. He's bringing it in himself in a backpack, man. That is as real gets. BYOH. Bring your own Henny. Man, that is so Marshawn Lynch. That is so awesome. That is so beast mode. You ever see two guys on more opposite ends of the spectrum? You ever see two more polar opposites have an amazing exchange in 35 seconds? Check out the bookworm nerd. I mean, don't get me wrong, a genius, an absolute genius and an amazing player, but a bookworm nerd and the new Henny God, trading superstitions one more time.
You believe in superstitions? I always like to read the program front to back, for whatever reason, before the game. You know, by the end of the season, you know where every accountant for the Colts went to college. What
right,
were yours?
Right.
What was your
superstition was that I needed to have maybe a shot and a half before every game.
Of?
Hennessy. What you mean of?
I was thinking,
yeah.
Gatorade. Toradol. I don't know what
Toradol.
I was thinking.
Hell no.
And there's a bar right there in the locker room in Seattle. Schneider and Pete Carroll.
In my backpack.
Got it. The backpack.
I love also that they're talking superstitions. Hey, man, I'm really superstitious. If I don't get me a shot of that orange Gatorade, I can't go out there. And Toradol, man. You know what Toradol is. You know what Toradol is about. I understand why guys take that spike, because they have to do what they have to do to get on the field. But I wouldn't do it for a superstitious purpose. Hey, man. Step on a crack, break your mama's back, take a shot of Toradol. Like, I'm superstitious before horse races. I don't load up on Toradol before. What kind of superstition would that be, Pinky? Toradol?
Toradol. I don't know what
Toradol.
I was thinking.
Hell no.
Who's even more incredulous than me? Marshawn, he's like, Toradol? Hell no.
Toradol, I don't know what
Toradol.
I was thinking.
Hell no.
Beast mode is now bottle mode. He's officially the new Henny God. I just wish that he didn't take so long to let all of us know. In fact, that's kind of the problem with Marshawn Lynch. Like, we don't know nearly enough. What we know is awesome, but we only know what he lets us know, because Marshawn is a man of very few words to all of us. Man, but every time this guy opens his mouth, something amazing happens. Never mind what he does on the field. Every time my man opens his mouth, something amazing happens. I just wish he'd let us know that sooner, because J.R. Swish hates that bleep. And that was a bitter enough pill to swallow, but luckily now we know that Bottle Mode loves it and has been loving it. Just like I love knowing that when he caused a literal earthquake in Seattle against the Saints, after trucking 20 dudes in one house call, that he had to have been fueled up on the hen dog. Marshawn Lynch, if you need him, still one of the greatest sound bites in sports history, and he is not even trying. Man, thank goodness Pinky set him up for that one. He was trying. And luckily we got some gold out of both of them. That is an amazing exchange.
A shot and a half before every game.
Of?
Hennessy. What you mean
I was thinking,
yeah.
Gatorade. Toradol. I don't know
Toradol.
What I was thinking.
Hell no.
And there's a bar right there in the locker room in Seattle. Schneider and Pete Carroll.
In my backpack.
Got it. The backpack.
I'm almost speechless by how good that is. I could listen to that over and over and over again. Quote,
over
what
and
you
over
mean
and
of
and over
is an
over
amazing
and
response by Marshawn.
Over and over and over and over.
Like, he
over
can't believe it. He can't believe that Peyton Manning is asking him, what you mean of? Did you just ask me what you mean of? Of?
What you mean of? What you mean of?
Like, do you play the game, man? You one of us? What, of? What you mean of?
Of.
Marshawn Lynch, legend. All right, what do you want to talk about? What do you want to hit on? The song is coming up. I'm not there yet, but I'm getting closer. How about the Ravens and Steelers? You see they moved that game again? And did you see where they moved it to? And did you see what time they're going to kick that game off? And did you see why they're going to kick that game off, where they're going to kick that game off? Incredible. I've got that for you coming up a little bit later on. And yes, the elephant in the room. The way that game ended last night. The most horrific backdoor cover ever. So horrific, I will even talk about it on the program. Normally, I watch these games for entertainment purposes only. Like, this had no impact on me, right? I'm not talking about it because of something that happened to me. But it happened to a lot of you. How do I know? I have a Twitter feed on my phone. All right, all of that's coming up. Drew in West LA is in. Quote, Peyton is confused because his dopey little brother prefers to slam warm milk before games. Shot of what? Gatorade? Toradol? Wells in the 360 tweets. A shot of Gatorade? What a nerd. Peyton Manning must have stopped drinking after his interview at the Pro Bowl. War I Ray being the penny god. Ed in Santa Paula is in. And all this time I thought it was the Skittles that made him go. That is an amazing exchange. I love that. All right, when we come back, let me get you in here. It's been a lot of me so far. Normally, more of me and less of you is good for the program. If we're being really honest, more of me and none of you is good for the program. But I'm going to invite you in. Hit me up, 1-800-636-8686. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Phone call is straight ahead.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
I mentioned Wednesday afternoon football. Man, 2020 is so weird. Not just Wednesday football. Not Wednesday primetime. Wednesday at 3:40 Eastern. Like, I'm going to roll out of here, have some lunch, and then get ready for some NFL ball on Wednesday. Of course, we do have Sunday football. Another NFL and CBS doubleheader, in fact. The early slate highlighted by the Browns taking on the Titans. Big game. Other key games featuring the Raiders, Dolphins, and Colts. All big games as they continue to make their postseason push. Then in the late window, NFC division leaders square off. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers take on the Eagles. It all begins with the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. Sunday, the NFL is on CBS. I promise telephone calls. Let's get it. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to the island. Steve in Long Island. Steve, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, Jim. Big, huge fan out here at Suffolk County, Long Island, New York. Huge fan of the Jim Rome Show.
My man. Thanks so much, Steve. How are you doing?
You do a great job. Listen, I just want to follow up what you were talking about the last night's game. Yes, I had Seattle. Yes, I had given 6.5. Okay, a small, just a, you know, minor wager, okay? But the whole point is, you know, you first of all, you get this Hail Mary, that's fine. But then you leave the offense on the field to go for 2 points? I mean, did somebody on the Eagles have a lot of money? Did the coach have a lot of money on his own team? Did the quarterback have a lot of money on his own team? I don't get it. I am just absolutely livid, not just for me, but the millions of fans that listen to your radio station that are flipping out right now, and I'm venting for them. I mean, that just they needed 2 scores. Why not just kick the extra point and then do your onside kick? If you get lucky, fine. If not, fine. But what happened last night was just absolutely, absolutely outrageous for anybody out there that does a little wagering on games and stuff. It was just outrageous. You know, as quickly as I could say I lose a game, you know, there's a lot of times that I also win in last-second games, too. But what transpired last night was absolutely, it was an abomination. There was just no reason for them to go for 2 points.
My man, let me jump in. Steve, first of all, Steve, great job. Yeah, you speak for so many people. Rack the phone call. It's my man Steve on the island. He said that very well. That's incredible. So why don't we hit on that? I was going to say, I'm going to hit on the elephant in the room, but it's no longer an elephant in the room, man. My man, Steve, just laid it right out there for everybody. In fact, because he did, I'm going to come right out, and I'm going to ask you the question point blank. How many of you, like Steve, got down on the Seahawks -6.5 versus Philadelphia last night? How many of you did that? How many of you who got down like that? All of you? Maybe not all of you, but my own non-scientific hypothesis would be if you did get down for last night's game, a lot of you did just that. You took the Seahawks and you laid the points. How do I know this? Well, for one, as I mentioned, I have the Twitter app. It's on my phone. I read it. Furthermore, and this is a little more scientific, actually, there are several online sites that had roughly 85% of the money coming in on Russ and the Hawks -6.5. Honestly, I looked at that and I thought to myself, there is no such thing as a lock. There is no such thing as a lock, especially in the NFL and especially this season. But if there were a lock, or at least a lock of the week, it would be that. And then with about 20 seconds left in the game, it didn't look like the lock of the week. It looked like the lock of the year. Hell, it looked like the lock of the decade. How many of you on either side of that had already turned the game off? How many of you Eagle fans were pissed and moved on and went to bed? How many of you who had hit the Hawks and laid the 6.5 already had banked that money mentally, or better yet, physically, had already spent that money? If any of you did any of those things, man, shame on you. And I'm not here to pile on, because weird things happen, especially this year. But as weird as things get, and weird is usually good, but not in this case, nobody could have possibly have seen this crappy game ending the way it did. 50, and this is going to hurt. This is going to hurt 85% of you. But with fit, because if you may have missed it, I need to lay this out, and you're going to find out why Steve was so pissed. And 85% other Steves are pissed. 15 seconds left, 23-9, Seattle up. The simple math would tell you that's a 14-point lead for a Seattle gambler with a 6.5-point spread.
It is simple math. That's 50 hours on hold.
Right, Hawk? Simple math.
The simple math.
That's the simple math. Now, let me give you some Jim Rome math. According to Jim Rome math, you probably have a 99.999% chance of covering if you're on the Hawks, -6.5 in that situation. However, Carson Wentz has the ball on the Seattle 33, and he had other plans. Alvy, roll it.
Wentz is in the gun. 5-yard snap. Drops back 4. Moves around the pressure. Arches a spiral pass. It goes in the end zone. It's a jump ball. And it's caught on the ricochet. It's caught by Rodgers, the tight end. It's caught. That's a touchdown.
What a tremendous play by Rodgers. One-handed that. Woo! What a catch.
That's Westwood One, and who else? The Hail Mary King. The Hail Mary King himself, Richard Rodgers, with that one-handed catch. You know, seeing him line up before that play, I was kind of flashing back to A-Rod and him in Detroit. Of course he caught that ball. Of course he caught it with one hand. Of course he stuck out that big claw, and it just sort of stuck to it. But, and my man Stephen Long Island laid this out. If you're a Seattle bettor, even through all of that, you're still good. You're still good because you're up 8. They kick the point. The point after, you avoid a huge scud. You sneak out of there with the dub, and you're thankful. Oh, wait a minute. Freaking Dougie P is playing for 2. If you've got Seattle -6.5, and you see them lining up for 2, now you're freaking out. He's playing for 2. What the hell for? The game is over. What does a 2-point conversion get this guy? The hell is he doing? The worst nightmare ever is playing out right before your eyes, because you know Seattle doesn't give a damn if they get it. Seattle's not playing the line. Seattle is playing for scoreboard, but not Dougie. Apparently Dougie is on the Eagles sideline playing on behalf of every casino in Vegas and Jersey. Dougie is just doing what some analytics dork or some big-ass analytics placard is telling him to do, and he decides to go for two. And everybody who's got the Hawks minus 6.5 is thinking, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. But he's thinking, it's in my team's best interest. I think I'll go for two. But every Hawks bettor is thinking, oh my God, this is not happening. Oh my God, this is not happening. And then this happened.
Oh my God, this is not happening.
Oh yes,
the Eagles have attempted the most two-point conversions in the NFL. 14 on the season. And a lane opens up nicely for Miles Sanders, who strolls in for two.
A lane opens up nicely is putting it mildly. Of course the Hawks let this guy walk right in. Of course they let him walk right in. Why wouldn't they? They didn't have anything on the game. Douglas must have. He had a bleeping play card that told him to go for two in that situation. Cover for the Eagles, plus 6.5 bettors. Legendary nad shot for Hawks, minus 6.5 guy. In an instant first ballot Hall of Fame bad beat. Pin that one up for one of the worst beats ever. A truly horrific backdoor cover and beat. How bad? Bad enough that I'm talking about it on the show. Why am I talking about it on the show? It goes back to the fact, well, because I'm coming off of what Stephen Long Island said. And it goes back to the fact that I do, in fact, have the Twitter app. And it's on my phone. And people were losing their bleeping minds. Hell, Doug was trending number two on Twitter after that happened. That was an amazing thing to see play out. I mean, first the Hail Mary. A Hail Mary that worked. And then when he lined up to go for two, and you knew Seattle wasn't going to try and defend it. I mean, I'm even going to ask the question. I mean, Steve's already come in. If you want to share your misery, go ahead. Like, action on these games are the highest of highs, the lowest of lows, and that was a perfect example of that for each side. How good did it feel to win that? And how bad did it feel to lose that? For real, has anybody asked Doug why he went for two? I'm asking on behalf of the 85% of the people who got down on that game. Not me. I'm here for entertainment purposes only. I don't need action to enjoy these games. Well, hell, they pay me to watch the games. But man, that is some kind of bad, bad beat. A bad, bad, bad beat. How many of you had spent that money already? Seriously, how many of you had gone online shopping with, yeah, man, I got mine. Wait, what? A Hail Mary? All right, that's fine, man. Just kick that point, get the hell off the field. I already bought that new case for my new phone. 1-800-636-8686. Man, what a bad beat and what a bad win if you're on, or a good win if you're on the other side. When we come back, I'm going to try and get that song in there and some reaction. Got a lot of show for you. Jared Patterson coming up at the top of the hour. Ravens, Steelers. Hey, think of the bright side. You'll get a chance to earn that money back Wednesday at 12:40 Pacific time. And the reason they're playing that game when they're playing that game is unbelievable, too. Stay tuned. Let's get you a sports update. Here you go.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
For all the ones who get it done, there's Grainger offering supplies and solutions for every industry to help keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com/safety or just stop on by. All right, so for any number of reasons, music has always been an integral part of this show. Always, going way back to when the show first began, decades ago. Whether it's GNR literally welcoming you to the jungle or Iggy bringing me in every single day, or the Boomtown Rats closing out the program with a tip of the hat to the night show. Music is and always has been really big around here. And it's not just the well-known cuts, right? We also spin some very regrettable efforts by prominent sports figures like James Dolan and his goofy little granola dad band.
Wash away my troubles, wash away my pain with the rain in Shambhala.
is garbage. Like, absolutely horrible. But then again, so was Gordon Hayward's rap song as MC G-Time back in 2010.
Yo, yo, the name's G-Time. Big frame, big game, call me big time. Ball hard every night and every day.
Good player, horrible rapper. That sucked too. Hey, G-Time, maybe leave the basketball rapping to Damian Lillard. And hey, Scott Stapp, leave baseball bangers to Fogarty.
Let's play ball, it's game day. We want strikeouts, base hits, double plays.
As badly as you want to, you cannot unhear something like that. And of course, there was my guy, John Neems, crooning out some bizarre piano ballad to Michael Jordan's dad, James Jordan Sr., way back in 94.
How proud he must have been to be Michael's dad. Each time he'd hear the crowd cheer.
That song set off like a decade-long feud between me and Neems. Actually, it wasn't even a feud because I didn't give a damn what he thought. I just told him his song sucked. But then we came around. We're good now. I mean, I could do this all day long. I know a lot of you want me to roll the acoustic efforts of my guy Barry Zito, but I'm not doing that because my man Barry Zito showed a lot of heart and a lot of grit and a lot of courage. And by the way, what he did, what he created, is on the other end of the spectrum with the good music that has been played on this show. So you've got the staple songs, you've got the regrettable songs, and then you've got decent songs. You've also got clone parodies, like Iafredi's rendition of Whitey's Dad, every John in Little Rock call ever, and most recently, Jeff in Southfield doing his take on Bitchin' Camaro by the Dead Milkmen, but rewriting it for Brad and Corona and calling it Bitchin' Corona.
Bitchin' Corona, Bitchin' Corona, I'm going to drive Brad's car, bum, bum, bum. Bitchin' Corona, Bitchin' Corona, I'm going to drive a real hard, bum, bum, bum. Bitchin' Corona, Bitchin' Corona, I'm going to shift a stick, bum, bum, bum. Bitchin' Corona, Bitchin' Corona, I'm going to ride that, woo! Bitchin' Corona, Bitchin' Corona, ba-da-da-ba-da-bum.
Incredible. So all that leads me to this, the final category of music that I want to talk about, clones writing original songs for me and members of the XR4TI, because that is actually a thing. For instance, Alvin DeLauro has his very own track, courtesy of Manic Bloom, back in 2016.
Get closer to the mic. That's how that thing works. Check, check, check.
Yeah, I make 50 grand a year because I got two jobs. One where I'm flipping them burgers, one where I'm turning them knobs.
So good. It's actually awesome. That is, and so is the Jim Rome rap song by Straightjacket and Kill the Hun. It was recorded back in 99.
Putting down smack that I make you rock. So whether you're rolling in your car, at work, or at home, turn on your dad, who you hear?
Jim Rome!
Out of the jungle.
Love that. Then you've got Jesus in Chicago, giving Kyle Brandt the treatment sometime around 2010, I think. Jesus in Chicago. Jesus, what's up? How are you?
Let me say a few words about my man, Kyle B.
Kyle Brandt. Kyle Brandt. Kyle Brandt.
From the daytime soap opera world to the jungle, breaking through the line quick fast without a fumble. It's the guy who reality wholly adored. Even with the skits on the real world are looking for, it's Kyle Brandt, gratuitously shirtless. Yeah, I got a Princeton degree, but watch me work this. That's what I heard him say the other day in his stay here in Chi-Town.
Jesus was kind of prolific back in the day. He dropped a lot of tracks. That one isn't even suitable for satellite radio. Albie had to bleep out a lot of that. The gold standard, though, the gold standard for this genre by a million miles is 3 Day Weekend's Mr. Automatic about Jay Stu.
Breaking Jay Stu's quarantine glass. The best contestant Fine Gates ever had. Charismatic, Mr. Automatic.
I mean, really one of the most amazing things I've ever heard on the program, or any program. That'll never be topped. How could it? So now you see, everybody around here has a song about them, written and performed by the clones, except for Adam Hawk and Garrett Ritt. And this was brought up by an emailer a few weeks back who wrote something along the lines of, why don't these guys have a song? Ritt alone has provided enough content for an entire album. So I read that and I threw something out, you know, a quick solicitation, like, if anybody wants to give these guys the musical treatment, go ahead, send it in. We'll take a listen. Well, somebody did. And that somebody's name is Bernard T. And Bernard used this idea of a hypothetical workplace Donnybrook between Hawk and Ritt as his inspiration. Keep that in mind. The song is called Ritt versus Hawk. Here's the good news. Every song that I just played about me, Alvy, Kyle, and Jay Stu were great. Here's the bad news. This song about Hawk and Ritt is terrible. No offense, Bernie. You take a listen, and then we'll break this thing down. Check it out.
Ritt be Adam Hawk. Ritt be Adam Hawk. What's the money line? Ritt be Adam Hawk. Low GPA. Work for me some day. Alvin drop the squawk. I'm Adam Hawk. Ritt be Adam Hawk. Ritt be Adam Hawk. Low GPA. Work for me some day. Alvin drop the squawk. I'm Adam Hawk. Low GPA. Work for me some day. I would drop the squawk. I am Adam Hawk.
Maybe the worst 45 seconds that have ever aired on this show. I cannot begin to tell you how much I regret ever asking any of you to make a song about those two. I mean, dude, the production value is terrible. Burn Dog, my man. It sounds like you played the Mission Impossible theme off of your computer and recorded it through your phone, and then you opened up the Voice Memos app on your iPhone 4, and then did the vocals. If you can call those vocals the Mission Impossible song, like that was your choice? That makes no sense whatsoever. What does that have to do with Ritt or Hawk, or either of them giving the other the hands? Are they going to blow up a fish tank with a stick of gum? Or steal the knock list suspended by wires? I mean, that literally is the worst crap I've ever heard in my life. I mean, Bernie, I appreciate the hustle, the effort, kinda, sorta, not really. Not at all, dude. It's the worst thing I think I've ever heard. Here's the thing, my guy. The song is called Ritt versus Hawk, but you don't even mention anything about Ritt. Instead, you wrote one four-line verse about Hawk, and then you repeated it three times in 45 seconds. Do you know how hard you have to fall in love with something with a single verse to repeat it three times in 45 seconds? And it's not even good. Low GPA, work for me someday, Alvin drop the squawk, I am Adam Hawk?
Low GPA. Work for me some day. Alvin, drop the squawk. I'm Adam Hawk.
And what's with that weird fake New York accent? Like, if you're new around here, the low GPA refers to Hawk graduating high school with a 1.8 grade point average. Work for me someday is a reference to a radio executive telling me once that we would all work for Hawk someday. Which is about as accurate as me calling this whack-ass Mission Impossible song good or even listenable. And Alvin drop the squawk is him asking for the soundbite that Alvy plays when I mention Hawk. And this dude, Bernie, drops those four lines three different times in 45 seconds.
Ritt be Adam Hawk. Ritt be Adam Hawk. What's the money line? Ritt be Adam Hawk. Low GPA. Work for me some day. Alvin drop the squawk. I'm Adam Hawk.
Again, nothing about Ritt. Nothing about them fighting. Ethan Hunt could not have repaired that song. Here's hoping that song self-destructs in 5 seconds, whether we accept the mission or not. Hey, Bernie, I appreciate you very much as a listener. I do. Honestly, I do. But what do we say that you stick to listening from now on, bud? Because I never want to hear this ever again.
Ritt be Adam Hawk. Ritt Creepy Adam Hawk. Little creepy, yay. Welcome me some Jay. I haven't dropped the
song. I mean, damn. Songs about the show were undefeated.
No creepy.
But as we now know, everyone and everything besides Father Time and sex eventually loses, and we all just lost big time, all of us. I would not look for that to become a staple, Alvin. Rit V. Adam Hawk.
Rit V. Adam Hawk. Rit V. Adam Hawk. Rit V. Adam Hawk. Look at the
A. Man, I wish I had never asked. But I did. That's on me. Do what you do with that, clones. Rit, I want to say you have a song, but he didn't even mention you. Hawk, you have a song. Jared Patterson joins me when we come back. Running back from the University of Buffalo. Stay tuned.
Rit V. Adam Hawk. Rit V. Adam Hawk.